This is the homily for the passing of St. Benedict, 2023, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the Book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 to 7, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 27 to 29. The homilist was Abbot James Wiseman.
No doubt, like many of you here this morning, I'm not an avid reader of the business section of the papers. But I do try to keep a bit with the major trends in the world of business. So I've been trying, probably like many of you, to grasp just what caused the problems with that bank out in the Silicon Valley or the much larger bank in Switzerland. And we've all heard of the decline of manufacturing output in American businesses. There's no single reason for this decline, but I once read that in general, the businesses that do best are those that are open to innovation, that are willing to keep learning instead of always doing things the same old way, and that keep things relatively simple by adhering to a few key values that the leaders transmit with extraordinary persistence. And a few years ago, a member of a religious congregation that was not Benedictine applied that insight to religious life. In particular, that person focused on the point about key values, and he quoted one of his congregation superiors to the effect that one need answer only three questions when it comes to deciding whether or not to admit a new member. Does he pray well? Does he do a good day's work? And can you live with him? And although St. Benedict did not phrase things exactly that way, in fact, those three questions do cover the basics of Benedictine life very well. Prayer, work, and life together. St. Benedict says a lot about work in his rule, giving detailed instructions about how the liturgy of the hours is to be prayed, both in terms of the specific psalms to be said at certain times of the day, and with regard to the attentiveness with which a monk should pray them. Benedict also reserves the very best times of the day, depending on the season of the year, for that prayerful reading of scripture or other religious works that we normally call Lectio Divina, and that some commentators suggest is especially characteristic of Benedictine spirituality. And in all this, Benedict is only echoing the prominent place that prayer has in the Bible itself. The Gospels tell us that Jesus spent many hours in the mountains at night communicating with his Father. He gave his disciples a special prayer when they asked him for instruction about how they should pray. And after the Ascension, St. Luke writes in Acts of the Apostles that the 11 were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And in one of his letters, St. Paul exhorts us, pray in the Spirit at all times with every supplication. To that end, keep alert, always persevere in supplication for all the saints. And then secondly, St. Benedict is insistent that monks work to earn their livelihood. He regularly assigned about 6 hours a day to work, whether in the fields or in the workshops or in the kitchen of the monastery. And he added that if the monks had to do hard labor in the fields, they should never complain, because in doing such work, they would be more truly following the example of their monastic forebears. Benedict's monks were by no means to be beggars. They were to earn their own livelihood to the fullest extent possible. And here too, Benedict is only reflecting the teaching of Scripture. St. Paul was especially insistent on this, holding himself up as something of a model, as when he wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, to the present hour we are hungry and thirsty, we're poorly clothed, beaten, and homeless. We grow weary from the work of our hands. Or in another letter, he says, thieves must give up stealing, rather let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. And then thirdly, even though Benedict recognized the possibility that some might eventually be called to live as hermits, he himself wrote specifically for Cenobites, monks called to live together in community. One of the most precious chapters of the Rule, of course, is the 72nd, titled The Good Zeal of Monks, where St. Benedict sketches in a few simple phrases this ideal of living together. No one seeking what's best for himself, but rather what will help others. The monks vying with one another in mutual obedience, namely hearing or being sensitive to the needs of others, showing sincere affection for their superior, and all that in the hope, he says, that Christ will bring us all together to eternal life. The biblical basis for this essential component of monastic life, and indeed of all Christian living, is pervasive. We need think not only of Jesus' command to love one another as he has loved us, but also the many other instances of that Greek word for one another or for each other, word that appears in the New Testament, actually about 100 times, including St. Paul's writing to the Romans that he's longing to be with them, as he puts it, so that we may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And then there's his prayer toward the end of that same letter, a passage that we just heard as our second reading this morning, where St. Paul writes, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I've certainly not said much here that you've not heard or read already in one form or another, but that only reinforces the point I made at the beginning about the importance of certain key values being constantly and persistently emphasized if any enterprise is going to flourish. Whether or not one's a monk, all Christians are called to pray fervently and attentively. All are called to do an honest day's work to support themselves and others for whom they're responsible. And all are called truly to be concerned for the good of one another. To reflect on these three basic pillars of Benedictine spirituality would surely be one of the best possible ways of honoring the memory of the great saint whose feast we celebrate today.